Are you looking for a better life? A life with less stress, good health, and success? Then let me introduce you to Lisa Giroux. Lisa is a wellness coach who works with individuals like you who are seeking a different path to transform their life. Lisa will use simple strategies so that you can access your personal success. She is a master teacher with over 2 decades of experience and will share with you ancient wisdom that you can use in your modern life. Reiki, relaxation, meditation, and nourishment of your body, mind, and your soul. To begin your new path, visit lisagiroux.com. G-I-R-O-U-X. lisagiroux.com. Feel better. Live better. lisagiroux.com.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Brian, for that fun, wonderful intro. I'm so grateful to be here today on this amazing day where life is occurring. And I want to thank you for your time today as we are discussing this powerful new moon that we are about to receive. And we're talking about R is for ritual. We kind of skipped ahead in the ABCs of wellness because I wanted to get this information out to you now because it is time. It is the time to make that reconnection to the source, to the divine, to the oneness that is, and begin to step up. And we're beginning to step up to the truth of who we are and moving from mystery to mastery. So this is a meditation call. So if you are not in a safe, secure, non-moving place, please come back and visit this when you are in a safe place. I don't want you driving and listening to this because we are going to go into a meditative state as I deliver this information and you choose to receive this. So with that being said, let's get comfy and let's get busy creating and writing the energy. Writing as in R-I-G-H-T. So for those of you who have worked with me in the past, we always begin our practice together with the lighting of the candle. And as I'm going through this today, because so often I assume that you have worked with me before or have a level of understanding, I'm going to be teaching this whole ritual right from the start. And it correlates to the Simplicity of Spirituality, my first ebook. And if you have that available, you can follow along. And if not, just have an openness. Part of the work, most of the work, that we do with the non-physical reality, with that which we cannot see, with the spirit world, spiritual experience is what we're seeking. And so as we just begin to follow the breath, the intelligent breath connection is how we begin to fan the flames of that tiny spark of the divine that dwells within each of us. And as we begin to breathe with awareness, we begin to awaken this divine within us. We expand on the inhalation. We surrender, release, and let go with the exhalation. There's what's called the still point in between the breath, at the top of the breath, on the inhalation, as we move into the exhalation. There's the still point at the bottom of the breath. It is said that the awakening, the awakened love, where we all are moving towards, is in there. That is the benedicting. That is the connection. That is the fuel for this connection, this direct connection that we are choosing to make each and every day. Let me move a bit closer to you. So, as we breathe with awareness, we are now directly connected to Source. This is the intelligent breath. This moves us biochemically into or towards what is called the relaxation response. So many of us are living in the stress response when we don't even know it. The gift of our awakened, loving, kind, connected breath practice automatically does what it needs to do to move us into the place of receptivity, of relaxation, of openness. We suspend our cynicism, if only for an instant. We suspend our disbelief that this could be possible. We move into the probability and the possibility of what may occur. So as we continue to follow the breath, breathing in with awareness and expanding in all directions, pausing for the instant at the top, releasing and letting go. I'm lighting this candle, and our candle lighting ritual is one of the most simplest practices that we can do, the lighting of a candle, the candle that represents the light within, the light without. It begins to illumine our way into the journey, the subjective journey, that journey within, which is the most important journey. So as we make the connection with breath, embolden, emblazon the spark within us, and we begin to mirror in our physical reality, and we honor that mirroring with candles. Now certainly candle means many different things in many different cultures. It was a necessity 150, 200, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, all the way back in time, to light our way. We use it now, metaphorically, to light our way again. But it also is this immediate awakening to the potential that is. And then those of you who work with me, you know, we're always working with water, because water is one of the most powerful forces on Earth, next to fire, flame. And the beauty of water, as it always seeks the lowest point, it reminds us to be humble. And that through the humbleness, through the surrendering of ego, through beyond edging God out, as our beloved DWD would teach us, Dr. Wayne Dyer, we begin to edge God in, Egi, reversing that. We purify with water. We cleanse on many different levels. So we use water in this manner as we're creating ritual as the medium for taking on the desires and the intentions that we are wanting to create. And so we hold the water in our hand and we place our intention upon the vessel in which the water sits. And the vessel in which the water sits also represents the vessel, that is this body. And this body that is will take the intentions. Since we are a majority of water, mostly water, the molecules will give us this wisdom on yet another physical level. So the ritual of water is one that we use. And so we think about our intentions, our desires, our dreams, and we hold the vessel of the water in our hands, and we just breathe with our awakened love into this space, and we just allow the water to morph for our benefit. And then we take a sip. Now, this water that I'm using today is going to be part of the big ritual that I'm creating for the new moon, the planting of seeds. This is the most powerful new moon of the year because of the alignment where the positioning of the stars and the planets that are coinciding with this new moon. And every 28 days, Grandmother Moon makes her cycle, her dance, across the sky. And as we mature, as we blossom, we reconnect to Grandmother Moon and her wisdom. The week that we are in is a very energetic week. I've been encouraging people all week to really begin to get clear on what their dreams and desires are. And clarity in this time and space can be a challenge. We have so many blessed distractions, don't we? And oftentimes, the distractions that we tap into are a gift for a time, because we're not ready to ascend. And I believe that this disconnect and reconnect to distraction goes back to a time and space in this earthly incarnation, in our childhood, where we were no longer witnessing ritual, and it did not become the habit. So for today's teaching, as we're talking about this very energetic planetary time, it has to do with the arrival of the Aries new moon. And this new moon carries the best energy of the year to initiate any kind of project over the next 2 weeks. So we're really, really planting our seeds of intention at this time, metaphorically, spiritually, physically maybe, and we are running our circuit, our channel, to the highest frequency and vibration by becoming crystal clear on what we really want. Now, let me get back to my notes. So, there are many forms of ritual. The lighting of the candle, the setting the intentions in our water, the connecting to breath, mantra, meditation, prayer, gratitude. These are all what I call, or what are called, practices. And these practices help us to write the energy. R-I-T-E, correct. Write the energy. Ritual is a writing of energy. In this very dense physical package that is our beautiful human form, things get stuck. There is a ritual and purification that we go through in this lifetime, the healing crisis. If we are to awaken to the next level, if we are to make our ascension to the next level, unfortunately, it comes with this healing crisis. For so often, myself included, I stuffed my feelings. My distraction were drugs and alcohol, and they worked great for a long time, so I thought, according to me. But as with all distractions, as we choose maturity, true maturity, true maturation, as we come into our power, we realize that these are holding us back. It would have been as if our parents had tied our shoes together when we were trying to learn to walk. Or what might have been even worse is if our parents hadn't allowed us to fall down so that we could get back up. The strengthening comes from the getting back up. Fall down 7, get up 8. Let's take a breath here. And on that exhalation, just sink more deeply into that space. And let's take a sip of our water. As we move more deeply within, noticing the inner landscape. The ritual that we would have gone through 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, lifetimes ago, would have given us the gift of opening up these realms. We would have either studied with a master, because these were not taught to everyone. It was esoteric. The esoteric is now becoming exoteric, but the physicalness, the ritual, the initiation are still the same. In our ego, we believe that we are the most ascended that this planet has ever become. That didn't make sense. In our ego, we believe that we are the most evolved, and that is not true. If we were the most evolved, we would not have the crisis and the horror that is represented by a certain percentage of the planet today. Some say that percentage is as high as 80%. We have moved beyond the tipping point, and in order to restore balance, we must move beyond the crisis and the drama. We must ascend or become awakened so that we can contribute to the collective and no longer contaminate the collective. So if we were a young person 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 100 years ago, in a certain culture, we would have gone through these rites of passage. But what has occurred is we no longer do that, so we are a bunch of little children walking around in big people's shoes, aren't we? So the ritual that we are creating, especially today, and we can do this with every, you know, we walk the medicine wheel every day. We walk it every day, we walk it every month, we walk it every year, we walk it every lifetime. And the medicine wheel, where we are now, where our wise Buddha is in this fifth moon. We are in the time of the East. It is the time of the eagle. It is naturally the time of seed planting because it is spring. But we had to give away. We had to move through that time of composting. Well, first we had to put everything onto the composting pile, right? We had to give it away. We had to give it away. We had to purge. We had to clear the clutter. We had to create the space for the divine to land, for our dreams and our desires to land first. You know, if you were a farmer and you tried to plant your crops on last year's fallow field, they wouldn't take root. So the clearing that we're feeling, the emotional upheaval that we're naturally going through, And we all go through it. Oh, my goodness. Sunday, I was in quite an upheaval. I was working my own coaching program and worked myself right into this flurry, this fury, this spiral of blessed discontent. I had to purge that disbelief. I had to let that go, and I practice, use that with my ritual. You know, stamping my feet and throwing a hissy fit. And then drinking some water and coming back to balance. So the ritual that we create is really the wormhole, to speak in quantum physics terms. It is, you know, I believe, like, when we have our connections with synchrodestinies, our coincidences, those, wow, you know, what does this mean? Where is this? I believe that that is a wormhole. I believe that from the other side there is a frequency coming through to give us exactly what we need at that moment in time. And we want to accept that with gratitude, but not be attached to that, because it's a gift to strengthen us to move forward. The same with this ritual that we create. It's creating a wormhole, reaching back in, reaching into the mysterious, the non-physical. It's creating this frequency, this vibration. And then it is received by the source, the creator, the creation, the spirit, oh great spirit, and we acknowledge, and then we have to surrender and release and let go. We can't be clinging desperately to this temporariness, this moment, because it sets us back from being able to open up to the potential of moving forward and receiving just what we need when we need it. So often we get so stuck in that physical that we get stuck. It's sticky. The physical world is sticky, isn't it? We are magnetic, and we're attracting to us all the goodies, the quote-unquote goodies of this lifetime, and it's not always in our best interest to cling to the physical, because it really keeps us from being able, it's like hanging on to last year's crop in our field. How can the new seeds of dreams and desires and wants and those things that we are meant to ascend to, new possibilities, new friends, new work, new money, new love, new whatever it is, come to us if we're stuffing our seeds into a field that is already stuffed? For lack of a better word. You know, when we do the money teaching, money must land in clear space. Money has to have a place to land. Prosperity of good health, right work, right relationship, all things must have clear space to land. We must give these seeds, and I'm sprinkling my sunflower seeds over my little altar here that I've set up for us, sprinkling these seeds to give them a chance. So that's where, in our physical reality, we're creating ritual, aren't we? When we're clearing the clutter in our homes, it is one of the most sacred things that we will do. When we let go of all that old gunk, freedom, liberation. If we can't, then we are trying to live not in present time consciousness. We're not here. We're not present. We're not able. We're not capable to move forward. We're stuck. It's like the feet in the clay. I was talking with a client this week, and we were describing our our ascension. And my mother had done this amazing. My mother was always a seeker, and she had drawn this man, and his feet were in clay, and she was going through like the Dark Ages, into the Bronze Age, into the, I can't remember what the polka dot underwear represented, into the Golden Age, you know, all the way up. And so we were laughing about our feet in clay, where we're stuck. Oh, and how burdensome that is. When we ascend, when we clear, release, surrender, let go of those things that no longer serve us, when we move into our true journey of maturing as not just, not necessarily, yes, physically, but emotionally and especially spiritually, we then ascend the scale, we move into that age of enlightenment, and then if we want to dip back down and play in the mud, what a joyful experience that can be. But if we are stuck, if we are clinging desperately to old thought forms, to old beliefs, to the wounds of the past, because we're too afraid or too distracted or too addicted or too fearful to heal, to look at it, to let it go again. And we're peeling that onion. Oh, I don't want to peel the onion. It's smelly. It makes me cry. Boo-hoo. We say woo-hoo. Woo-hoo to your boo-hoo. It's not a breakdown. It's a breakthrough. And keep healing that heart. And keep healing that heart. And keep loving yourself just as you are, snot and all. You know, while I was in my tizzy, you know, gotta love it, gotta love it. Ah. And then that becomes the time in hell. Instead of, you know, 30 years of being addicted, we move the distance in our clarity, in our enlightenment, in our ascension, in heaven is greater. The distance between hellish experiences is greater. The time in hell is less. And we move back to quickly, 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 writing the energy, creating ritual. Whether it is the ritual of, oh, my God, I'm freaking out right now, I better take a breath, sit down, drink some water, or stand up, stamp my feet. For me, it's always movement. I've got to move. I'm very vata in that way. Stamp my feet, get back to grounded. All right, what is this here to teach me? Again. Drink that water. Clear out the static. Restore balance and begin to see clearly. Or a little more clearly. The loving of the process, I was journaling about this after meditation, because to when we get to a certain level, at least this has been for me and maybe this has been for you, we get to a certain level and we move or we perceive things in a different way. So to get back to loving the process that we go through, you know, my spiritual process is very clear to me. Sometimes the physical processes now trip me up, to put it lightly. So the creating of the ritual that we are going through right now, all forces are with us. There are specific times in a day, well, in a moment, let's start right here, right now. This is the specific time where all forces are with us because we are in that relaxed meditative state. We're allowing information to wash through us. We're not clinging to anything. We see the spark of the divine in the candle that we have lit. We have set our intentions in the water that we are now hydrating our body with, breathing with awareness. We're flexing our body, getting in our body, getting out of our head. Spirituality is experiential. Religion tends to be more dogmatic in, what's the opposite of experience? Concrete. Now, there is a certain dogma to our spirituality, and we get to choose. You know, I have delved in shamanics for probably 20 years now, alternative thoughts about healing for more than 20 years, meditation for more than 20 years, yoga, you know, all of these spiritual aspects that allow us to continue to expand, ideally with joy and grace and ease and glory. But sometimes we forget that the joy and grace and ease and glory comes with tears, grief, anger, bitterness, all of those baser emotions that we think, oh, no, 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 oh, no, 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 stuffing, stuffing, clinging, I've got to cling to this good feeling, ah, you know what, this too shall pass. So we try not to get too high or too low, the middle way. The middle way. You know, and for years I bumpered card between the middle way. Woo-hoo! 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 And, you know, that is exhausting to the physical landscape, to the emotional landscape, to the mental landscape, and to the spiritual landscape. So here we are. On the eve of this new powerful moon, I just want to check the time. I think it's 2 o'clock in the morning that the new moon arrives. And we're kind of weaving our ritual. I kind of started yesterday gathering my tools. You know, we're gathering the tools for ritual. So for me, and the most important thing about any ritual is our intention. What do you want? What do you want to create? And we then are going to mirror what we want to create, give it that wormhole. We're creating that wormhole, right, in a physical form. So I like to set mine right on the dining room table. Hun is participating in this ritual via osmosis. And so we gather our tools, and then we smudge the tools, or we light incense, or we purify them in some way. You can purify with sound. You can use water for purification. I smudged the table. I smudged my computer because I'm sitting here now with technology. And the first thing we do is we're setting our intention to plant the seeds of intention to allow this very opportune time for the next 14 hours, about 18 hours, depending on where you are. Well, I guess it'll always be the same, but I think it's 2 a.m. Eastern time that the new moon comes in. And so all of us, and those of you who are on the call, and those of you who are going to be listening to this later today, I know a few of you couldn't make it live, we're setting the spiral. So if we don't make it exactly at the same time, we're creating the spiral for this intention. And this is for each of our benefits, all, the benefit of all. But we're doing our own physical work first. We're clearing our own landscape so that we can plant those seeds of intention with this powerful new Aries moon. In the time of East, the time of the Eagle, the, I was reading. Forgot I was on the radio there for a second. So we begin with our altar cloth. I was given a beautiful piece of cloth for my birthday the other night at dinner, and I'm using that. And it's a beautiful shade of blue. I thought I might be using green, but it's funny, all the cards that I've pulled so far, including the green man, the shaman, the nine of arrows, dedication, and the guardian are all green, so we'll let that go. Oh, and the lighter that I use to light our candle with is also green. So we lay the altar cloth with our intention to cleanse and purify, receive and open up to a new level of awareness for ourselves. We're going to be using this space because so much of the work that I'm doing, that we're doing together, is all about making the connection between the mental, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. And we do that through our chakra system. And so the first level that we are going to be clearing is, of course, always the root, the rootedness. And the altar cloth really kind of represents the rootedness. It is the root. It's the foundation of the work that we're building upon. So we would want to make sure that our root, to begin with, is clear. So we're creating this level, and this is our support system. And as we clear our root that is related to home, family, tribe, career, safety and security in the world, and money, that can cause a lot of upheaval. So we want to see, feel, and know it to be true that on all these levels, we're strengthened. But we cannot be strengthened if we have a fractured wheel. The chakra is a wheel. You know, if you're trying to drive around on a wheel that only has one spoke, there may be a breakdown. So we want to just lightly put our attention and our intention upon the space of our root. It's at the base of our spine. In the chakra world, it's the color is red. So if you are doing root chakra, if you want to make a chakra altar, you can certainly do that. And so think about what you are clearing out with love and light, surrendering to the highest good, eliminating, no longer tolerating for yourself, for the benefit of all. Where am I responsible in the hell that I've created on this planet, and how can I love and forgive myself and move to the healing, through the healing crisis, to present time consciousness, be here now, and command and receive something new? What would that be for you now? Take a moment. Take a breath. Drink some water. Oftentimes, for myself, I get complacent and I don't challenge myself because I'm too comfortable at times. And I was talking to Cosmos about this, and it was funny because he said, no, you should be comfortable. And I'm so glad, because Cosmos was an aesthetic. You know, he used to stick pins and needles and have cars run over him so that he could access the divine, and I'm grateful I don't need that level of discomfort. So sometimes the discomfort that we create is the distraction, or it is the ego speaking, like, look at me, I'm lashing myself, I'm beating myself up for God, for Source, or however that is. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? And I want to just love all of that for all of us into the light to restore that balance. So the first seed that I'm going to plant, and I told you I'm using my sunflower seeds because I'm going to sprinkle these out to my little birds after in 24 hours. After I clear this altar, we'll let the wormhole create for about 24 hours this little ritual. This little altar that we're creating to celebrate the new moon. So, you know, for the seed that I'm going to now place upon the altar, I've sprinkled a bunch, but now I'm going to actually, like, physically move, and with my left hand, I'm going to receive the wisdom of what my root needs. What do I need to do, say, be, or have to restore my home, family, tribe, career, safety, and security in the world to balance? What seed do I want to plant? And I want to have a greater understanding and facilitation of the physical world, because so many times, that's what trips me up and sends me rapidly into hell. And so to continue to expand my wisdom regarding those things that confound me in the physical world, be it relationships, be it technology, as I said, be it, being able to get myself out there, if that is how it is supposed to be, to take the step. And so as I'm working this next 24 hours, the work that we're doing together, I hope that you will let me know. I'll be tweeting about this, so you can follow me on Twitter. And those of you who are just with me by phone, you can call me, you can leave a message, and I will be holding that space for you, as I know you're holding this space for me. And or you can email me, or you can just send it by smoke signal, or we'll meet in the cosmic orbit, as Cosmos and I are always dancing with delight up there. Come on up. The weather's great, and we'll put our seeds of intention there. So that is, what are the concrete steps? And I'm going to try and take three steps. So that's going to be my challenge for growth and expansion. So as we ascend our scale, a second seed, so now I'm taking the second beautiful sunflower seed, and it's in my left hand because this is my feminine receptive hand. And so I'm putting into it. So our second chakra, the color is orange. The sound is VAM. And it is our sacral chakra. It's our design center. And this is also our get up and go. And I know that when our get up and go is defunct, we are really kind of slumped down in. We are not moving in the direction that we want, be it from fear, be it from, you know, our lovely distractions that keep us from really ascending up the channel, ascending up in our spirituality. And so the ritual that I would want to create for this is to recognize that this represents one's own place, and my own place is wonderfully amazing, and I'm so very grateful. And I want to plant the seeds of intention for my sacral chakra, stand and command all women to stand, heal themselves, teach peace to their sons, and access a new realm of awareness on this planet now. Now, that is pretty grandiose. What would be the three steps that I can take for that? The three steps that I can take for that is to, number one, stand and command that men now stand up and heal themselves. It's been brought to my attention that I should be working with men as well. So I'm open to that. I'm going to open for that. I'm going to command now that we all stand, heal ourselves, and teach peace upon the planet so that we can get to that. Because there's been a lot of non-teaching of peace. We know that because we see what is occurring out there. So from this, the three steps that I will take and the three steps that you will take for your, how can you sweeten your life by opening to pleasure? That's what this chakra is about too, pleasure in the right amount. Oftentimes we assume, and when I did the pleasure, the goddess principles, as we talked about pleasure is opening up to true contentment. We think we have to have those swings, you know, that pleasure is only through sexual release. Not necessarily true. Pleasure is being here now, present in this moment, seeing all of the heaven or the hell, whichever we have creating, loving it to the light, and moving forward, moving upward. So I'm going to take this beautiful little sunflower seed, and I'm going to think about the three steps that I am willing to do, and I'll be sharing some of these with you the next few days. And if you're on the email list, we'll be talking about it there too. So we want to sweeten life by opening to pleasure. Pleasure promotes well-being, being well. Are you willing to be well in your mental, in your emotional, in your physical, and your spiritual? the ritual that we create through healing those, through the breakthrough, or how we get to that, so that we're spending more time in heaven and less time in hell. But when we're in hell, we're fully present and conscious to it. Ugh, doesn't that suck? But we must love this so we can get to something better. So moving from this, okay, this is a little shaky, or this is a little uncertain, or this is a little funky for me, that's okay. Because I know this, full-time body awareness, full-time body awake, in my body, fully conscious from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, here now, I am here now, I am here now, surrendering and moving, second chakra, to a better space. So from that, we move up to the divine will center, the third chakra. So I'm taking this little seed, this delicious little sunflower seed. I hope I don't eat this before I get to, well, I guess that would be the cycle of life too. So the third chakra is the solar plexus. The sound is Ram. That is a very powerful command in Sanskrit. That's what, when Gandhi was shot, he commanded Ram, 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 Ram. When we use Ram in that, you can do Rama, which is masculine, feminine, both aspects. But when we do Ram, woo, I just had the shivers for that. We clear this out. We open the vagus nerve to be able to perceive and receive the wormhole openings that God is speaking to us by speaking through us. If you're hearing the voices, hallelujah for you. If the voices are telling you to do anything but love one another, that's not God. So this third chakra, this is when we open up. The color is yellow. The sound is Ram. It's where we take in physical food, mental food, emotional food, spiritual food. We assimilate and digest and eliminate, surrender, release, and let go that which is no longer needed, so that we can clear the space to plant the seed of what I really, really want now that is aligned with source is on its way. And I am willing to receive it. So what do you really, really want? What I really, really want is do some automatic writing. That's what I like to do. You know, I like to write poetry when I'm sitting in, well, not really poetry, but a love letter to the source. I just let my pen go. And I keep it upgraded. I don't move to he said, she said, I can't believe that. I move it to, I usually start with, it is so beautiful that I am here present with you, and cruise on that frequency for a while. Getting in touch with our true one, that's another way. We must clear out all of the static. And that's what our practice is for. It kind of clears the mind, clears the body, gets us into that very receptive state so that we can plant the seeds of what I of desire. Now there is that selfish wanting versus real wanting. You know what we're speaking of here. We're letting go of those judgments so that we can step into what is aligned with the source, what is aligned with God, what is good. I want what is good for myself and every other being. To have that willingness. Our will center. Just willing. Just a willingness. Because the willingness to direct the energy is to be on that that plane of ascension of healing. So we move from the third chakra into the heart chakra. The sound is yum, yum, yum. color is green on the inhalation. So we breathe in green. We heal ourselves. We breathe out pink to the east and the west and the north and the south, above and below, center and within. We must move from to loving ourselves fully so that we can love all others just as they are, so that they can stand up and heal. We're holding a better vision for them, especially them that hate us. If you are in a position to where you are in a place or a space where you're seeing the crisis, we do move into that oneness. We send our love and light. You know, I have a crystal ball that I work with every day that represents the earth to me. When I am in my practice, I am sending out love and light from here, filling those places, filling those spaces. I remember DWD said that one of the ways that we could heal, and I know Marianne Williamson did this in the Bosnia-Herzegovina conflict, and I was with her almost every day. Every day at the same time, we would gather on the ethereal plane, and we would pray for peace. We would meditate on peace. We would act as if. Remember, we think that prayer that we have to beseech God, oh, I'm so unworthy, help me, help me, help me. We command. We say peace is possible, but only if I have my own peace here and now. I cannot ascend one iota, one jot, one tittle. If I don't have my own personal peace, it is the only way that we manifest a better life, that we come to realization and illumination so that we can manifest greater. And we hold that frequency for those who are perceiving in anything other than love and light, bliss and joy, peace of mind, and well-being. They all go together. Love and light, bliss and joy, peace of mind, and well-being. Woohoo! So you, healing that heart, you think about, I did this when my brother-in-law was dying. I did the Heart Sutra in the room. And it really was a beautiful, although awful, painful situation. But to just have that loving, into the heart. You do it three times. Breathe in. What that sound does on a biochemical level is it begins to release nitric oxide. It's like intoning the sound of N. And that moves us towards relaxation. It fills us with a warm fuzzy. We want warm fuzzies. We want to love ourselves. Because we can only love others to the degree that we love ourselves. Now, does that mean that we need to continue to live in a dysfunctional relationship? Associate with that? No. But we do have to have a level of self-love so that we can discern, so that we can be in a space where we are celebrated and celebrating others mutual, not draining. And we hold a higher frequency for those who cannot hold it for themselves. Part of the work that I'm doing with my clients is when we're working together, I'm envisioning what they can't see for themselves. I'm seeing them as already whole and healed as I hold their hand metaphorically. Most of the work I do is remote. As they're crawling on their belly, I'm saying, lift up your head. Look up. Love yourself. Be grateful. Now get up. So what are three steps that we can demonstrate to ourselves for the benefit of loving ourselves? So that we can heal ourselves and move forward. This is not selfish, it's self-preserving. So that little seed of manifestation, you know, any time go into that place, and I do, and I can rapidly descend into that rapid fire of unworthiness, you know, like my little Tommy gun of, you know, just shooting darts and blah. And sometimes I have to give it. You know, when I was in my tizzy on Sunday, I had to write down all of those things. You're this, you're that, who do you think you are, blah, blah, blah. It needed a voice, it needed a voice. Then I had to say it. And it felt so uncomfortable that I had to heal it. And I healed it by burning that off, stamping my feet. Remember, we either go to our bed and we beat on the bed. Oh, I will never speak about myself like that again. I forgive myself because I forgot. You know, do that big, that vomiting out of those negative frequencies. Take a breath, take some water, back to peace. Then fill in with, I am powerful beyond measure. I am worthy. I am designing a life with the divine. I am co-creating this beyond my physical belief and my physical limitations, moving into my infinite spiritual limitations. I am that I am. The reason why we sigh, and I suggest that you sigh heavily, especially as you're moving through your metamorphosis, is because the sighing is what heals the collective conscience. The restorative pose that I then share is to stand after we go through this, and we imagine that we are on the inhale, the most beautiful swan, and we raise our beautiful wings, and then we come down, and we make that. You've seen how birds will do this. They will move their wings into that V position, and we physically sigh. That realigns the parasympathetic and the sympathetic systems so that if we're on a spiral and we're like all sympathetic system, we're just beating ourselves and others up for not being who we thought they should be, or didn't do what I wanted you to do. And we are out of balance. This completely restores our balance quickly, quickly, quickly. Do that 3 to 5 times throughout the day. When we are in our processing, we deliberately sigh because there is suffering on the planet. If we're empathic, if we're compassionate, and we are only becoming more of that the deeper into our spirituality we go or the higher up we go, we then are sighing deliberately for all those who are suffering, and hoping and sending out and believing in their awakening so that we are healing ourselves and healing the planet. We are just a microcosm of the macro. We must see ourselves as this beautiful planet, heal it through healing our hearts, and then hold it in our hands metaphorically, or if you have a crystal ball like I do, and then we see this planet, the new Earth, as already in existence. We're no longer boo-hoo, poor me, although we have our boo-hoo, poor me moments, but it's breakthrough, not breakdown. It's like, wow, that happened to me, and it sucked, and I would never choose it again. But look at the gift. Or there's got to be a gift somewhere. Remember the little boy who was shoveling through the horse manure and his dad said, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I know there's got to be a pony here somewhere. So keep shoveling through that metaphorical manure because there's got to be a pony somewhere. There is a pony. I love my little pony. So keep healing that heart. 3 steps that you are willing to do today, moving forward. Healing that heart, loving yourself, loving the process, loving everybody else. When I go into that critical, judgy, criticizing, condemning, pointing, slashing, gossiping, restore me to balance now, God. I forgot who I am. We were having a conversation last night about if you cannot discuss it in the same room with whom you are discussing, it is gossip. If someone in your life needs a conversation, have that conversation with them, with the person. Because if you're talking talking about them behind their back, they know that you are. And so we want to raise that bar and no longer participate. Walk out of the room, walk out of the house, walk out of the relationship. Ascend. Ascend that now. Because you know it's not right. You feel it in your gut when you get to a certain level. It's no longer fun. Well, really, it never was fun, but it was what all the cool kids were doing. So we move from the heart up to that very powerful bridge that is the bridge between that which is physically real, what we see and think is real, okay? My pen, my beautiful spritzer here, my cup of tea, and that which is mysterious and unknown, that is the throat chakra. The sound is hum. The color is blue, like a beautiful color out of sky. Wow. I'm looking out today, and it is breathtaking. And this is another creative center, design center, because the most potent form of creation, the most potent form that we create, the greatest way that we create is through our words, through our languaging, through our communication, through that which we are saying to ourselves first. Oh, my aching back. Oh, my empty bank account. Oh, my broken heart. To, I can't believe she wore that. To, I am powerful beyond measure. To, I live a life that is delightful. To, I am so connected to the source right now. My heart is overflowing. And I am ready to create something on an even more beautiful scale. So we speak kindly to ourselves first, and we must catch that. Those 60,000 thoughts that we're having over and over and over again are usually saying things like, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're not good enough, you don't deserve to be happy, you shouldn't expect wealth, you're bad. I'm picking up my little seed, I'm putting it in my left hand now, and I'm thinking about love, words of light, words of empowerment, words that encourage. And we are putting that. There, I have this amazing little book that I got from a girl I worked with. I used to wait tables with her. Katie, wherever you are, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is more than 20 years ago that she made me this little handmade book with crayons, and it's called Intriguing Quotes for an Aspiring Soul. And I read it every year on my birthday, and it just gives me it's just so beautiful. And it's one of my greatest treasures. And I love one of the quotes, and it says, to be great is to be misunderstood. And so often we forget that even in that's our ego misinterpreting that, and we want to reassign that. But I want to, here we go, here's the one I'm seeing. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life from aching or cool just one pain or help one fainting robin, I shall not live in vain. And that was Emily Dickinson. And those are the words that heal, aren't they? That is the frequency of healing. Words. Remember that old misnomer, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me? That is a lie. Words do more good or more damage to our energetic frequency. So in our fifth chakra, the sound is hum. The color is blue. We want this to be a clean, clear bridge because this is... that not only are we communicating to ourselves and others, but this is where our dreams and desires must come through this channel. We have to get out of our head and get into our heart. It is said that the heart is the second brain. There's so much information out there, so much blah-bitty-blah-blah, that we must use this energetic channel to get from the heart, from the head, excuse me, from the mind, the small mind, across the bridge, into our heart, and love this experience. So what are three ways today that you are willing, or three mantras, or three affirmations that you are willing to practice today to continue to heal this heart, this body, this mind, this frequency, and continue to love? So we're planting that little seed of intention and desire on this very powerful altar that we're creating to plant the seeds of realization, manifestation, illumination during this very powerful time. And moving up now to the sixth chakra, the sound is Om. The color is purple. And this is the seat of divine wisdom. It's where we are communicating with the source, with our guides, our guardian angels. And for me, this seed is going to be to allow myself to see more clearly with the third eye. I had that sound healing with Jack Stuckey recently, and that was amazing. And he said that my third eye was so large and expanded, and I've been really having this perception of myself as going back in time, being, you know, beyond in the Sumerian times. And the reason why we had such high foreheads was because of this big third eye, this expanded third eye. And what is that meaning for me? So in my meditation, I really want to get to that meaning for me. And I want to dream big, to rest and restore well each night, and to access on an even greater level my guides, guardian angels, totems, and recognize symbols that I'm seeing, the signs that we see, to not always have to language their meaning, but to perceive that meaning. And for me, when I see those symbols, it is to remind me to go to the third eye and to see it on a new level, understanding, a new level of understanding. We so want to put physical reality upon the spiritual that we're like, what does this mean? And the meaning is whatever is causing us to feel, if it's giving us peace of mind, if it's causing us to not walk down the dark alley, if it's saying, we are here, we are here, we are here, whatever that is. So then we move to the seventh chakra, which is realization. The sound is silence. And as we open up to a greater ritual of silence, creating big chunks of silence in our very busy world through our meditative practice, what are three ways we can honor more sound silence? Because God comes to the still, quiet mind, not to the staticky, I'm not worthy mind. Now, each of these seeds of intention that we have upon the altar, or we're going to set upon our altar, for the next 24 hours or so, along with the crystals and the stones, the representation of the four elements. We are in the time of East, the coyote, air is the element, the time of the South, and coyote. Did I say coyote for East? I'm sorry, eagle for East, coyote for South. Water is the element, the time of the West and the Great Bear. Earth is the element. Fire is the element of the West. And the time of the North, transition. Earth is the element. We want to, I think I said those wrong. I'm sorry. Let me go through those again. Cancel. East is eagle, the time we are in now, planting new seeds. Spring, the element is air. South, the time of summer, coyote. Water is the element. West, the great bear, fall. Fire is the element. North, the time of the white buffalo. And earth is the element. So we can make a representation of each of those things. The candles can represent fire in the time of west. I usually have feathers for east in the time of air. I will put a little container with water in the time of the coyote and the south. And I have a little container of earth. You could put a plant in the time of the white buffalo, in the time of the north. And as we set these seeds of intention, so I now have my seven. I have them at about the place where the fifth moon is. And those of you who have worked with me, you know what my medicine wheel looks like. Our Buddha is standing on the fifth moon of the year. That's where those seeds of intention are. So I have now my little physical representation. And throughout today, I'm going to be adding with my sticky notes. I told you to have your journal and sticky notes. I have orange sticky notes because orange are color I use for creation. And today, as insights come to me, I'm going to take my sticky notes and I'm going to put them on my altar, my intention to step up, step out, get this message told to those who are able to hear, to send cards. One of my intentions, I want to write thank you cards. Another one of my intentions, to book the workshop, get ready, complete tasks. That's one of my intentions. That would be under the third chakra. So we're going to continue today, and if you're able to even just set your altar, and then wherever you are on the planet, you are sending, and those of you who have Reiki too, we can send it with distance, our intentions right back there as if we are there fully present, so that we don't have to stress this on any level. We are, even if you don't set a physical altar, you can set your spiritual altar, from that place, our sacred space within, where we are always communing with the divine, where we see ourselves sitting in circle with all of our animal totems, with all of our guides, guardian angels. You've done that visualization with me several times. And we could be in that space planting the seeds of manifestation. Then after 24 hours, I will clear this. I will keep the candles lit for as long as I can, as long as it's safe. And then we clear our altar, our ritual, with the intention of gratitude, acting as if all of these things are already manifested. We are powerful. We are grateful. We are commanding and worthy of aligning and allowing those things in our life that are for our highest good. So I'm going to wind this down. Thank you. This has been a long coaching call. I so appreciate your time today, and I want to get back to that deeply relaxed state again. So take a breath and begin to engage your entire body, squeezing your entire physical body, engaging your powerful pelvic point, putting tongue to tooth, squeezing the body, squeezing the body, shoulders up, squeezing the body, and now let's send our intentions out to the east and the west and the north and the south, above and below, center and within. May we heal ourselves first so that all others may stand up, heal themselves, create peace of mind so that we can have peace on earth. And so that is, may you be divinely guided, directed, protected, effective in all that you are choosing to do moving forward. Here and now, loving this journey, loving the journey. I am Lisa Giroux, wishing you pathways to peace, purpose, and prosperity. Thank you very much. Namaste.
Are you looking for a better life, a life with less stress, good health, and success? Then let me introduce you to Lisa Giroux. Lisa is a wellness coach who works with individuals like you who are seeking a different path to transform their life. Lisa will use simple strategies so that you can access your personal success. She is a master teacher with over 2 decades of experience and will share with you ancient wisdom that you can use in your modern life. Reiki, relaxation, meditation, and nourishment of your body, mind, and your soul. To begin your new path, visit lisagiroux.com. G-I-R-O-U-X. lisagiroux.com. Feel better, live better. lisagiroux.com.